Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, January 13th. Why people living in their vehicles are suing the city. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A coalition of mayors and community leaders from across the county are demanding the repeal of new fees to park in Balboa Park. Shane Harris describes himself as San Diego's public advocate. He says San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria and the San Diego City Council are passing their failures with the city's budget onto the public.
Paid parking didn't happen because residents demanded it. It happened because City Hall created a massive budget deficit. And instead of owning that failure, they decided to pass the bill onto the families, seniors, students, workers, and visitors.
Gloria issued a statement saying, in part, repealing the parking fees would dismantle the city's progress, creating a direct funding stream for park operations and improvements. Harris says if it's not repealed, he may bring forth a voter referendum to force its repeal. In other news involving the city of San Diego and its mayor, the city's safe parking location in Bay Park is getting a bit of an update. Yesterday morning, Mayor Todd Gloria and others held a ribbon cutting for a new community space at the Rose Canyon Safe Parking site. It features new appliances, a library for children, and a meeting space. Jewish Family Services operates the site, which opened in 2023. Mayor Gloria says it's a success story for his approach to temporary housing.
People understand that the folks here at this project are getting their lives together and going on to somewhere better. And I always like to use this as an example for other shelter suggestions that we have around the city to help people understand that I get the concern, but I promise you this is going to work well.
The Rose Canyon Safe Parking site is open 24 hours, but there is an enrollment process. Details are available at the city's website. Thousands peacefully gathered over the weekend across San Diego County to protest ICE. Protesters were speaking out after an ICE officer fatally shot a Minneapolis woman last week. The two largest protests in the county were on Saturday in Encinitas and Escondido. There were about 1,000 people at the Encinitas protest and roughly 500 at the Escondido protest. In response to the protests, District 3 Supervisor Tara Lawson-Reamer said, quote, "Peaceful protest is how communities have always forced change and defended democracy." From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. The city of San Diego has been issuing citations to people living in cars and RVs in an effort to move them to one of the city's safe parking sites. For our weekly Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis says people living in their vehicles are fighting back.
San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria spent a year trying to turn the H Barracks site near the airport into a campus of homeless services. The abandoned military training facilities seem like a perfect fit. H Barracks opened last year and offered nearly 200 spaces for people living in their RVs and vehicles. Then the city began a major crackdown on vehicle habitation, especially near Mission Bay. And between July and September last year, the city issued more than 1,000 citations and referred hundreds of people to H Barracks. Only 59 of them ever went to the safe parking lot. Now the city is being taken to court. Plaintiffs who received tickets say the city is violating a 2024 settlement that said the city could not issue citations unless it offered, quote, reasonably available alternative sites for people to park and stay in their vehicles. The plaintiffs claim H Barracks is not a reasonable alternative. They have to leave each morning and come back in the evening, and that costs money, and it's difficult for them to pack up their belongings day in and day out. Now it's up to a judge to resolve. If he agrees with the plaintiffs, people will be allowed to stay in their cars indefinitely in Mission Bay and in other areas until the city has a better alternative for them. For Voice San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's Why It Matters.
A former San Diego sailor convicted of spying for China will spend more than 16 years in federal prison. Military reporter Andrew Dyer was at the courthouse yesterday.
At his sentencing, Jin Chao Wei apologized to the court and to the Navy. Prosecutors say he was contacted by a Chinese intelligence officer in early 2022 while serving as a machinist mate second class on the USS Essex. For more than a year, he sent thousands of pages from sensitive technical manuals to the Chinese. They paid him less than $13,000. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Parmley says he betrayed his military and citizenship oaths.
I talked to his shipmates. They feel he's a traitor. They betrayed them personally. They can't believe that he had done this, and for what was, relatively speaking, a small amount of money. So in my view, when you betray your oath to your country, when you betray your fellow sailors, there's really no other word better than that, which is traitor.
In August, a jury found Wei guilty on 6 counts, including espionage, conspiracy, and violating arms control laws. From the federal courthouse downtown, Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Pharmacists work in nearly every corner of healthcare. New research finds the pressures behind the counter can be intense. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says a new study from UC San Diego shows they are at a higher risk for suicide.
The researchers found pharmacists were about 20% more likely to die by suicide than the general population.
Anywhere where a medication is dispensed, researched, used, pharmacists have to be at the forefront of that.
Kelly Lee is a psychiatric pharmacist at the UC San Diego Skaggs School of Pharmacy. Her team looked at Centers for Disease Control data from 2011 to 2022. They found male pharmacists had about a 25% higher risk than men overall, and female pharmacy technicians faced about a 22% higher risk than other women.
Most of who you will see in a community pharmacy are technicians.
Lee says more research is needed to understand why more people in the field die by suicide more often than others. But when pharmacists struggle, she says stigma keeps many from seeking help.
Would they be concerned about our ability to provide care?
Lee says the goal now is action, not just awareness. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
If you or someone you know needs help, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting the number 988. The federal government has rules in place to limit local TV station ownership, but those rules could be relaxed or revoked under the Trump administration. This comes as consolidation efforts are playing out across the country. The corporate owner of ABC 10 News in San Diego recently rejected a takeover bid by conservative-leaning Sinclair Broadcast Group, and Nexstar's latest acquisition effort would give the company 3 San Diego TV stations. Reporter Amitha Sharma spoke with 10 News alum Lee Swanson and Point Loma Nazarene University School of Journalism director Dean Nelson about how changes in TV station ownership rules might affect local news.
Dean, in its refusal of Sinclair's hostile takeover bid last month, 10 News owner EW Scripps Company said it's open to evaluating opportunities to enhance shareholder value. How do you read that statement?
There are a lot of people who think that is sort of a signal for what they call a poison pill. And the poison pill is to keep that hostile takeover from happening. The shareholder price of the shares would go down so that the current shareholders would buy more and they would increase their ownership of that, which would elevate the price. It's risky in that shareholders invest in something so that they can make more money. If they keep Sinclair from buying the station, is it possible that they ultimately won't make as much money as they could? Actually, on the one hand, this is about journalism. But on the other hand, it's actually about capitalism.
Lee, as you know, the largest TV station owner in the country, Nexstar Media Group, owns 2 local stations, KUSI and Fox 5, and it's now attempting to acquire a 3rd CBS affiliate, KFMB, by buying its rival station owner, Tegna. What is the impact of one company owning 3 stations in one market on local journalism?
First of all, they're doing this because the audience is diminishing and they want a larger piece of a smaller pie so that they can keep their revenue up. You can't fault them for that, but they're also cutting jobs, in mostly in the newsrooms. And in the case of Nexstar, they have a particular political point of view when they want to express that through their stations. I don't care if it's liberal or conservative or what it might be. That's not the way journalism ought to work. And for them to have a plurality, at least, of the ownership of the markets in the station, there aren't enough voices. When you need more voices, you need as many voices as you can get to express the facts and the opinions in controversial stories.
Dean, the FCC limits a single entity's ownership to two stations per market. There's also the 39% rule. Explain the 39% rule and the purpose of both of those rules.
Yeah, the purpose is to address Lee's concern, which is just having dominant voices on media outlets. The 39% rule in the FCC is how much of the market do you actually influence? And so for any station, whether it's Sinclair or whether it's Nexstar or whomever, to have the voices that control maybe 39% or more of a particular market is against FCC rules. Now, what the FCC is saying, and I think there's actually some truth to it, is those FCC rules don't matter anymore, given the internet. I look at my students at Point Loma Nazarene, and they aren't getting their news from broadcast. They're getting their news from YouTube. They're getting it from Instagram. The FCC is saying, so it's a shrinking market. Why are we holding on to laws and regulations that were big and important when there were only three or four big broadcast outlets?
So do you see those rules changing this year?
Oh, I don't know how soon, but I definitely see them changing.
Lee, at the same time, Paramount is attempting a hostile takeover bid of Warner Brothers Discovery, which owns CNN. Are the failed Sinclair takeover bid of 10 News and the right-leaning Nexstar's acquisition of a third local TV station all part of the same story of what's happening to journalism?
I think so entirely. The audience is shrinking. They're looking for ways to stay relevant. The companies are buying up more and more and merging more and more, and we're not getting the kind of television journalism we're accustomed to. Viewers are going elsewhere. And the Paramount combination owning CNN, Paramount already has CBS. And if those two are merged, then the gloves are off. The whole market, the whole situation changes.
KPBS reached out to Nexstar Media Group, Sinclair, and the FCC for comment, but did not hear back. That's it for today's podcast. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.